Have you noticed a theme kind of running through our music today? We've talked about sheep. Had some good dancers up here. We sung about a leading of a shepherd. A lot to do with the shepherd today. A lot to do with the shepherd. You know, this is what we're going to do is that over the next 3 weeks leading us into Easter, we're going to begin a new series that's titled, I Am. I Am. And what we're going to do is we're going to take statements that Jesus has made about himself. And he's talking in the book of John. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I encourage you to open up to the book of John chapter 10. We're just going to get right into it this morning. John chapter 10. And what we're going to see is this, is that Jesus, over the next couple weeks, Jesus has made several statements about himself. And he uses the phrase, I am. And then there's a blank after it because he fills it in. Now, you may say, well, what are some of these I am statements? Well, let me give an example. Jesus says this in a book of John. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says this. He says, I am the bread of life. You can eat from me and never be hungry. Jesus said this. He said, I am the gate, and no one comes to the Father except through. Jesus said this. He says, I am the shepherd, and I'll lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and in me there is no darkness. There's another I am statement that Jesus made. We will discover this one when we come to Easter, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And though he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, Jesus is the I am. Now listen, we don't have time to go through all the I am statements. All right, we don't have time to go through all those, but we're going to highlight a couple of them. And today, I want us to see that Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, in verse number 11, this is what it says. It says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, he lays his life down for the sheep. This is good for us, all right? Why is it that we need to know that Jesus is a good shepherd? Why do we need to know that this is how Jesus is describing himself? Because we know this, that if Jesus says that I am the good shepherd, he's calling himself good. And since Jesus is the Son of God, this means that since Jesus is good, this means that God is good, and God is great. And you could probably finish that prayer also. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about the God view. Remember this God view? Remember we said it could be microscopic, it can be distorted, but then we said a God view should be panoramic. We should see this huge, mass, vast God. But you see, in order for us to get to God, we can't get there on our own. We need to have somebody leading us into the presence of God, because we can't do it on our own. We'll address this here in just a second. But in order for us to get to a view of God that is vast and big and huge, we must understand, first of all, that we have a shepherd that is very good, and he is the one that wants to lead us into this view of God. But see, before we talked about this, what we're talking about today, we need to understand that there's a God worth looking at. That's why we needed to expand our thoughts, expand our mind, expand our hearts on who God is. Jesus is good, and he's the good shepherd. Now, that's good news for us. Let me tell you the bad news. We're the sheep. That's unfortunate for us. We're the sheep. Let me tell you why that's unfortunate for us. I want you to think about a circus, all right? I'm going to make a presumption here that just about everyone here has at least been to a circus maybe one time in your life. I want you to think about the animals that you saw in the circus. My guess would be there was at least a lion, okay? At least a lion, if not a few of them, right? Because you can train lions. There's usually some guy and, you know, scantily clothed, I guess. I don't know why they can't wear shirts, these guys, and a big hairy chest or something. But he usually has a chair and his whip, and he's, you know, and he's training a lion because lions can be trained. Sometimes there's a lady out there, and she has a bunch of dogs, and they're running around, and they're jumping through hoops, and they're doing, because dogs can be trained. You know, there's even a flea circus. So I guess fleas can be trained. You know what? You can't train a sheep. They don't learn. They don't learn. You can train a sheep to do one thing, and that's play dead. Unfortunately, you can only do that one time. Then you got to get a new sheep. You followed me on that. That's good. That's good. Jesus said he is the good shepherd. But then he called us sheep. Got to tell you something. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals on earth. But Jesus said that we are like sheep. Let's find out some characteristics about sheep, shall we? I want you to take some notes today, all right? If you're not a note taker, I'm going to encourage you to take some notes today because there's some things that I think are very important that we need to get down and maybe meditate on even throughout the week, okay? Let's look at some characteristics about a sheep. What is it about sheep? Why is Jesus referring to us as sheep? Because honestly, if we just take it from the aspect that sheep are dumb, then that doesn't sound like a very good shepherd, does it? But maybe once we see it in a little bit of perspective here, we're going to understand that Jesus hit it right on when he called each and every one of us sheep. The first characteristic about a sheep is this. I want you to write this down. Sheep get lost. L-O-S-T. Sheep get lost. How many times have we heard that there's a sheep and they're in the fold and they're in the flock or whatever it's called and they begin just to kind of just look it over here and say, hey, that looks really good. And they just kind of wander this way because there's something that's drawing them and drawing their attention. And they're moving away from the safety of the flock. They're moving away from the shepherd. Listen, we do this a lot as people, is that we are with Jesus and we have accepted him and we're following him and he's our shepherd. And all of a sudden the world begins to entice us just a little bit. And we just begin to just kind of lean just a little bit. And then pretty soon we've leaned so far that now we become lost. We can't find our way. And we end up getting into bad decisions. Because the roadmap that we are choosing is not the one that the shepherd has chosen. The shepherd has chosen a straight and narrow path. We as sheep have chosen something that has enticed us, something that has distracted us, that has pulled us away from God, pulled us away from Jesus. And next thing you know, we as humans are making bad decisions. And then we are regretting those decisions. Why? Because we are the ones that were lost. We walked away. Jesus didn't move from us. We moved from the shepherd. Sheep get lost. Second thing I want you to write down is this, is defense. All right? Hang on just a second, brother. Hang on just a second. You all right? You all right? Okay. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. I want you to write that in. Sheep are defenseless. I want you to think about a cat. A cat has claws, don't they? A cat can claw. A cat has a way of defending itself. A dog has fangs. A dog can protect itself. There are animals out there that can fly. That is their means of defense. There are animals out there that have horns, right? They're rams, and they can defend each other by crashing into each other. There's others that have tusks, and again, it's a means of defense. Even the smallest of animals, what they have is a camouflage. Because maybe they can't run fast enough or they can't fly, but they can be a chameleon, and they can blend into their environment. You know what? A sheep has no defense for itself. Think about it. Think about it. How does a sheep defend itself? It can't. It can't. A sheep cannot defend itself. You see, we as sheep, all right, what does Isaiah 53 say? Isaiah 53 says that we as sheep have gone astray and each to our own way. So that when we pull away and when we get lost, or when we get defenseless, when we get lost and then we end up being defenseless, this opens us up from the attack of the devil. Because Satan, the Bible says that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What's he looking for? Go back to it. He's looking for the lost sheep. What is the sheep that has walked away from the fold? Just not even much. Just a little bit. Has slid away a little bit. We become defenseless when we don't have the armor of God. When we don't have the body surrounding us, we become defenseless. Then all of a sudden, the shepherd is moving forward, but we are going this way, and then we become prey for Satan. Sheep are defenseless. Are you seeing that we're looking more and more like a sheep? Sheep are also stubborn. I want you to write stubborn in. Write stubborn in. Now I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to say this. You're stubborn. Okay, you know what? I just proved it. I just proved it right there. Because some of you did it. But there's other of you who said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He can say all he wants, but you know what? He could be the leader, but I'm not going to do it. I am not going to tell them that they're stubborn. That's it. I just proved it. It works. We're sheep. We are stubborn. We want, when Jesus says this, Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is how I want you to give. This is how your life should be. These are the rules and the laws and the things that you need to follow in order to have a good relationship with me. And what do? I don't think that's right. You see, I think I'm in control. You see, I think I know my life better than Jesus does because, you know, he's I don't know if Jesus can really, if Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. I mean, come on, this is 2014. I mean, does he really know what it's like now? I'm just going to do things my way. Every time, listen, folks, every time we do something our way, we are stubborn. And we're stubborn as a sheep. You know, there's a story of a sheep that when a sheep gets caught between a rock and a hard place, okay, literally a rock and a hard place. If a sheep, well, because sheep are so stubborn, when they start to move between a rock and a hard place, they begin to get wedged in and stuck until they come to a point where they can't move anymore. But sheep are so stubborn that they won't back up and readjust and listen to a shepherd and go a different way. Instead, what the sheep does is the sheep still tries to press forward into a wedge, into a rock, and into a hard place till finally the sheep actually suffocates because it has collapsed its own lung, because it has wedged itself in so much, because it's so stubborn, it won't listen to back up because they want to do it their way. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Listen, we get caught up sometimes. We really do. We get caught up sometimes. We find ourselves in a predicament, in a place that we find ourselves in a rock and a hard place. We say that we're in submission. God, whatever you want to do, just get me out of this. But then we try so hard to move forward and do it our way. I need to fix this relationship. I need to fix this stuff. I need to do things my way. And God says, stop. You're literally killing yourself. If not literally, at least spiritually. Our good shepherd, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Our good shepherd says this, back up. Stop. Stop what you're doing, whatever hurt, whatever habit, whatever hang-up you're in, whatever relationship you're trying to fix. And Jesus says, stop, stop. I need you to back up. Take a breath. You see that path you were trying to walk? That's not the one that I want you to go down. Because that one will lead to destruction. You need to trust me, the good shepherd, the great I am. Come this way, follow me. Last thing I want you to write down for a characteristic of a sheep is that they are filthy. They're dirty animals. You know why? They don't have the means to clean themselves. They can't do it. They can't clean themselves. Their wool is too much. They're too furry. Their tongues and stuff, they can't clean themselves. And so they're filthy animals. We cannot clean ourselves in front of a righteous God. You see, our sins, they're dirty, they're filthy rags. There is no person around that can get to God around Jesus Christ. We have to go through Jesus Christ. He is the only one. The only way to God is through Jesus. And it is because of the sacrifice and his blood on the cross that doesn't just cover our sins, it forgives us of our sins. We cannot clean ourselves. I don't care how many good deeds you've done. I don't care how much you come to church, how much you read your Bible, even how much you pray. None of these works, none of these acts are going to allow us to be clean from our sin. It is only the good shepherd that can clean the sheep. Are you with me on this? You and I are sheep. Some of the dumbest animals on the planet. But as we look at these characteristics, I don't know about you, but I can look in the mirror and I can say, yeah, that certainly is me. I get lost. I'm defenseless. I can definitely be stubborn. And I know that I'm filthy when it comes to the sin in my life. But see, that's about the sheep. Let's talk about a shepherd. Let's talk about a good shepherd. Let's talk about one that loves you so much that those of us that feel hopeless because of the situations that we're in as sheep, and Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I'm here for you, so good that I will lay down my life for you. Write this down. Characteristics of a good shepherd. The first one is this, is that a good shepherd guides us. I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Some of you don't have to because you have it memorized, but I would encourage you, do not be stubborn. Hold your finger in John 10, but I want you to turn to the 23rd Psalm. Turn to the 23rd Psalm with me. It's the Psalm of David. And David begins to talk about this good shepherd. David begins to lay out characteristics for you and I so that where we can see where we are and just even the depression we can almost get in because of where we are. But the relief that we can have that there is a good shepherd out there that will guide us. The first characteristic of a good shepherd is that he guides. In Psalm 23, verse number 3, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And it says he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The Lord guides you and Jesus guides me. He guides us. That's what a good shepherd does. He says, you know what? Here, have you ever found yourself in a big decision? I mean a big decision. Could be job, it could be marriage, it could be children, whatever, retirement, whatever it is, some big decision. And you're wondering in your own head, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, you can talk to some other people, you can try to get advice, you can try to read up on whatever decision that it may be, but ultimately we're thinking through is that this just has to be my decision. I have to make this decision. The whole time the good shepherd says, hey, I'm right here. The good shepherd says, come here, follow me. I've got the answer. Do you know how much relief that this can bring to your life? If you just catch that one concept right there, you don't have to figure life out. I'm going to say it again. You don't have to figure life out. It's not your decision. You know what our decision is? Our decision is this. Yes. Yes. When Jesus says, this is what I want you, yes. I need you to follow, yes. Yes. That is the only decision that you and I have to make. And then we follow. We follow a good shepherd because he's a guide. It says this, a good shepherd calls them by name. And back in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him and they follow him. This is powerful. We know the name of Jesus. And we know through Scripture and through our Sunday school classes that Jesus knows our name. Do we really get that? He knows you. You. Not just us. Not just Trinity. Your name. This shepherd knows you. And he says, follow me. I've got the answers. I've got the way. I've got the direction that you need to go. Now, our question is this then. We want to follow, but it says here that the sheep hear his voice. The sheep recognize his voice. It's in John 10, verses 3 and 4. It says, the sheep recognize his voice and come to him, and they follow me. And some of you may say, well, there it is, Pastor. That's where I get stumbled on. I don't doubt that Jesus knows my name. I don't doubt any of that stuff that you're saying right there. The issue that I have, Pastor, is that I don't know if I can hear from God. I mean, does God speak in audible voices? I believe that he still does. Have I ever heard one? Not to my knowledge, but I believe he still can. Can Jesus speak through a prophetic message? Absolutely he can. Can he speak through just other signs and wonders that he has around? I don't doubt it for a minute. Jesus can do whatever Jesus wants to do. But we need some real practical application on how to hear this good shepherd. I think there's two reasons why we don't hear the good shepherd. The first one is all about personal relationship. If you are sitting in here this morning and you say to me, Pastor, I don't think I'm hearing from Jesus. I don't think I'm hearing from God. Well, then let's start at square one. Do you have a personal relationship with the Good Shepherd? Think about that. Do you have a personal relationship with this Good Shepherd? Because if you have a relationship with him, he will begin to speak, and you can begin to hear. But it all starts in a personal relationship. Now, most of you in here would say this, yes, I have that. I can testify to it. I can raise my hand and say, yes, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He has my heart, therefore, my sins are forgiven. I know that I have a place in eternity with heaven. I have that, Pastor, but I'm still not hearing from God. Now, you know what? We addressed this in men's group about 2 weeks ago. Jesus may have your heart, but I need to ask you a question. Does he have your whole life? Follow me, okay, on this trail here. We're going to play in the deep end a little bit. If there is nothing left of you, yourself, your nature, the nature that takes us a bent away from God, this is called sanctification. It's called holiness. It's called perfect love. We have a lot of names for it. Jesus has your heart. And we can kind of hear from him, but there's something else that's playing inside of our head. And it's telling us that we need to go this way or this way. And Paul talks about it in Romans 7 that we don't do what we should do and we should do what we don't do. And what a wretched man I am. We have this battle going on inside. If we want to hear from God, then the challenge this morning is this, is that then give your entire life to him, not just your heart, but your entire life. Think about this. If there is no more of self living in me, you still have your personality. You still have who you are. You still have identity. Jesus still knows your name. But the goals and dreams and hopes and aspirations and decisions and everything that makes up a nature inside of you no longer belongs to you. It all belongs to God. Therefore, when the still small voice comes into your head or begins to pierce your heart, hey, you need to talk to this person. Hey, you need to go visit over here. Hey, you need to give and you need to help this individual. Hey, you need to reconcile this relationship. You need to go and ask or seek forgiveness from this person over here. When this begins to happen inside, when you are a sanctified believer, then you can know for sure, 100% sure, that is the voice of God. Now, there's some deep theology with that, and you need to chew on that for a little bit. You do hear from God. I am positive that you hear from God. because he's always speaking and always talking. My question to you is, where are you? Where are you with this? Do you know him as your personal Savior? And if so, are you completely, completely sold out to him? So that when he says, this is what I want you to do, you can say yes, and a sheep hears from God. They know his voice and they will follow him. Amen. Second thing that a shepherd does is that he provides. Psalm 23, verse 1, 2, and 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Or another version says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and he restores my soul. Have you ever seen a sheep lying down? Think about it. If you've been around sheep enough, okay, have you ever seen a sheep lying down? Now, they will lie down, but there's three things that need to happen. First of all, they need to be well fed, or they will not lay down, okay? Yeah, everybody, you guys going, yep, that's me, okay? They need to be well fed. They cannot be in conflict with another sheep. They cannot be in conflict with another sheep, or they won't lie down. And the third thing is that they need to feel protected. They need to make sure that they're protected. If those three elements are happening, a sheep will finally relax and will actually lay down. What does Jesus say? Jesus says this. He says, you want to be well fed? Then you feast on me, because I am the good shepherd and you are my sheep. And Jesus says, if you want to rest, if you want to lay down beside quiet water, still waters, if you want to have the green pastures, if you want rest in your life, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and you can have that rest. I will feed you. I will protect you. It is me. It is his job. Jesus is saying, it's my job. I'm the shepherd. I am the one that is to protect you. In conflict that we may have with each other, if we allow Jesus the shepherd to come into the middle of our conflicts, my word, we can all rest. There's no more conflict, because the shepherd is handling it. The shepherd is taking care of it. What does that do for your life and mine?
There we go.
Okay, here we go. All right.
There we go.
Sheep can't swim, okay? Sheep can't swim. So when he leads us beside still waters, a good shepherd knows that if there is a rushing creek that is going ahead, or a river or a lake or something that is just turbulent and going, that the sheep will not get close to the water because they're afraid. And what will happen to the sheep is that the sheep, if the sheep happens to step in or fall in, they get all like a big cotton ball. They float for a little bit, and then their wool gets saturated, and they sink to a bottom, and they die. And so the good shepherd says this. He says, listen, he says, I'm going to lead you beside still waters. Because if all that a shepherd does is he leads an actual sheep beside rushing water, the sheep will not drink. And if the sheep do not drink, eventually they are going to die, right? Because they're not getting any nourishment. They're not getting anything. They're not getting any fluids in their body. And Jesus knows this, is that if you and I are not getting nourishment, if we're not getting something to drink, then we too will die. In a spiritual way, Jesus says this. He says, listen, you need to drink from me. I will fill you up. And so I will take you beside a calm water. You don't have to worry about falling in. You don't have to worry about drowning, because I am the good shepherd. If you trust me, if you follow me, I will take you right into a very pleasant place. It'll be a place where you're calm. It'll be a place where his spirit resides. It'll be a place where you can be nourished, where you can drink from him, and you can be filled up. He quenches the thirst. The Bible says this. It says that he refreshes my soul. Man, I love this. He refreshes my soul. Jesus is a good provider. Not only is he providing for the sheep and for any of us here in a financial way or in a way that's just blessing us in a way that the world would see, but do you know what he does? He gives you peace midst the trial. That's what he does. Some people, when, listen, you and I both know it. We see it a lot when it comes to funerals. We see that when a believer goes to be with Jesus, that though we mourn and though we're sad, there is some kind of a peace that comes around. And that's the peace that Jesus is talking about, that the good shepherd, that we still live in a world where bad things happen to good people. But in the midst of that bad, Jesus says that I'm going to restore your soul, that I'm going to be there with you, that you will not be alone because I am the good shepherd. I am with you. It's going to be okay. Even in the worst of trials, I will refresh your soul and you will have peace. There'll be some kind of a supernatural peace is what we like to talk about. It's a peace of a Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's a good shepherd right there. He also corrects. The third thing is this. I want you to write in, the good shepherd corrects. Now, this may not be good news to any sheep that are wandering, that are lost, that are wandering off. But I'll tell you what, a good shepherd corrects his sheep. A good shepherd disciplines his sheep. In Job chapter 5, it says this, it says, "So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal." Why would a good shepherd do anything like that? I'll tell you why. When a shepherd has a little lamb, he's going to discipline that lamb. Why? Because he doesn't want the lamb to go off. He wants the lamb to hear his voice. He wants the lamb to understand that the shepherd is the one that loves him. The shepherd is the one that will pet him. The shepherd is the one that will protect him. And so with God, if God has you as a sheep in a place where he is disciplining you, understand it is not because he is an angry God, it is because he of his love that he is disciplining you, because he wants you, he desires you to hear his voice. He desires you to be holy, to be just like Jesus. And so we get into some correction. It feels like we're wounded. It feels like the shepherd is even striking us. But Jesus says, I do that in order for you to stay close. Don't wander off on your own, because you will be defenseless, you will be stubborn, you will get lost, and you are filthy. Sheep are not smart animals. The shepherd says, I know what I'm doing. You may not like it right now, but I'm doing this because I love you, and I will protect you. And I need you to be totally dependent upon me. And finally, number four, is a good shepherd protects. Psalm 23, verses 4 through 6, it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You know, last night during prayer time, there was a prophetic word that came through. And the word was, fear not. Did you hear that? Fear not. That was the word that kept coming through last night as we were praying. I want to tell you something, sheep. Fear not, for your good shepherd protects you. He loves you. He is there for you. You are not alone. The shepherd is watching out for you. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod, what was the rod used for? You've heard this preached before. The rod was used to scare off animals that would try to attack the sheep. The staff had a hook on it, and that would hook the sheep that got into danger, and the shepherd was able to pull them out. Think about this. As David is writing this, what he's saying is this. You and I may think that we are in a situation right now that seems pretty bleak, but what Jesus is saying is this: you have no idea how much I have used my rod even today to keep the demonic, to keep the spiritual realm, to keep the devil at bay as he begins to ward those off because he is a good shepherd. He says, you have no idea how much I have kept away from you, that I have protected you because my rod has kept it stretched out. My rod says that they need to stay over there because my sheep are right here and I love them, so it keeps them away. And then Jesus also says this. He says, but you have no idea also how many times I've used the hook to protect you from danger, to grab you by the neck and to pull you back in. When we want to go this way, and the shepherd says, no, 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 no. I need you to stay here, little lamb. I need you to stay beside me, because if you get too far off, then you're going to be in danger. You get away from the body. You get away from the protection. I need you here with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. In old Palestine, there's a tradition that if you have a glass at dinner and you're a guest in the host of a house, that if you're a guest and if your glass begins to go empty, if the host wants you to stay, he will continue to fill up your glass with whatever it is that they're drinking. If the host has had enough of you, your glass is going to run dry. When the glass runs dry, it's time to go home. What Jesus says is this, through David's writing, he says, my cup overflows, runneth over, overflows. What does that mean? That means Jesus is saying this: I never, ever, ever want you to leave. I want to have such a relationship with you that you are invited to my table and you are invited to stay at my table. Never, ever, ever to leave. If your glass even looks like it's becoming a little bit empty, Jesus says, I'm just going to pour so much on that it overflows. Somebody here needs that this morning. Jesus loves you so much, he does not want to be separate from you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God puts together an inheritance for us that we might not see here on earth, which that's fine because moth and thieves take it, steal it, and destroy it. I would rather have treasures that are built up in heaven. That's what a good shepherd does. He says, I see what you're doing, and I'm going to put treasures in heaven for you. As we close out this morning, I want to tell you this. Somebody in here, I'm telling you, your heart's pounding right now. Your heart's beating really fast. Because Jesus knows, you know that Jesus is talking to you right now. Right here, right now. The Good Shepherd is speaking to you. And do you know what he's saying? He says, I love you. He says, follow me. Stop being lost. Stop being defenseless. Stop trying to go your own way and being stubborn. Let me take care of the filthiness that is on you so that you can begin to hear my voice, that as I guide you, that you can follow me. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, it's time to start following the shepherd, the good shepherd, the I Am. And I'll tell you right now, guys, Jesus loves you. He wants that relationship with you right here and right now. But again, if some of you are saying this, is that, Pastor, I already have that relationship with him, then you're still feeling something that's going on inside of your heart, inside of your life. You know that there's a hole in there right now. And the good shepherd says this, I am here for you, and I want you to be holy. I want you to be sanctified. If God is calling you to that place today so that you can follow the good shepherd with all of your heart, with all of your soul and mind and strength, if that is where Jesus has taken you today, And I'm going to say you're here on a good day because I want to invite you right here, right now, to live a life that is fully sanctified for Him. And that as sheep, that we can follow the Good Shepherd. Everyone bow your head and close your eyes for me, please. This morning, if you fall within that first category and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm the one. I don't know if I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know if I'm the one that actually has this relationship with this shepherd that you're talking about. And if you want to discover that relationship today, I want to invite you right here, right now, to begin to pray a prayer with me. I want you to begin to think through and say, God, I don't know what's going on here, but if this is what you're calling me to do, is to have and to begin a relationship with you, if this is what Jesus is calling you into right now, then I want you, you know what I'm going to ask you to do? I want to ask you just real quick, just slip up your hand and slip it back down. I promise that I will not embarrass you. But if Jesus is saying, I want you to begin a relationship with me, you can just slip it up and slip it down right now. Amen. Amen. If that was you, I want you to begin to pray this prayer. Saints, I want you to pray this prayer also in encouraging those who are coming to know Jesus for the first time. I want you to pray this prayer. Say something like this. Say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to follow you. Jesus, I thank you for suffering and dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me a new person. Say, Jesus, I trust completely in you. I give you my life because you died for me. Friend, if you prayed that prayer this morning, then you can rest assured that the Good Shepherd heard your prayer and you are one of His flock. He has brought you into the fold. You are now one of His sheep. And you can take all advantage of everything that the Shepherd would give. Now, for those of you in here that have known Jesus for a while, but you also know that there is something that is missing in your life, that there is a hole inside your life, that there is something going on inside of you, and you're saying, God, I don't get it. I don't know if I'm hearing from you. I don't feel like I'm protected, and there's just this battle raging inside of me. If that is you this morning, then I want you also to pray a prayer. It's a sanctifying prayer. It's a prayer that says, God, set me apart and let me be completely and fully yours. If that's you this morning, raise your hand so I could at least pray for you this morning. If you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I want to be sanctified. Yep, I see it. I see you. Yep, all over the place. Yep, praise God. God, I want to give you all over the place. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, I want you to start praying right now. We've got a lot of people in here who have given a whole life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Start praying. If that was you and you raised your hand, this is what I want you to pray. Know this, is that your salvation is secure, but now, right now, the Holy Spirit needs to fully, completely indwell your life to be able to take over, and we need to willingly release ourselves to Him in order that we may be completely filled with Him. I want you to pray a prayer that goes something like this. Pray it in the way that you would pray it, but let me guide you in this, just saying this, Jesus, I know that I have salvation, but today, Jesus, I choose to give you my entire life. I know that I have done things, Jesus, and I'm tired of battling. I'm tired of fighting. I submit my entire life to you. You don't have just my sin. I give everything to you. Then ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, will you fill me now completely, fully, every bit of me. And God, will you set me apart to do whatever you want with the rest of this life that you've given me? Because I willingly give myself to you. My friend, if you have prayed that prayer this morning, oh, thank you, Jesus. If you have prayed that prayer this morning, then know this. Life for you has just changed. If you have sought salvation with the Savior, you are secured for eternity. You will go to heaven. If you have taken the second act of grace that Jesus offers, of giving your entire life, then it no longer belongs to you. It belongs to Him. Your sin belongs to Him in salvation. Your life belongs to Him in sanctification. Oh, that we would have a sanctified church. What God could do with that. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for your message. Jesus, thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you for your work on the cross. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for securing our place in eternity with you, God. And Lord, I thank you for your second act of grace, Lord, the grace that says that you will take us, Lord, and that you will make us just like Jesus, that you will forgive everything that our entire life, Lord, is given to you. Jesus, I pray that you will take each and every person, Lord, and that you will make us what it is that you want us to be, that we realize, Lord, that it is no longer about us, it is all about you. May we be a church that continues, Lord, to be fully, completely guided by your Spirit. Jesus, may we be a bride that is worthy of you. And these things I pray in the name, the powerful name of Jesus, the great I am. Amen. Amen. My friend, if you prayed a salvation prayer this morning, please, please come and see me. I want to help you with your next step. If you prayed a sanctifying prayer, please let me know that too. I want to help you with that step also. Jesus loves you so much. And I would be remiss. I had a man on my front row here that wanted to say a word, and I held him up for a second. And Jim, I want to give you an opportunity, brother, that if God is speaking to you and you have something to say, that I want to be able to hear what it is that Jesus has laid on your heart, sir.
Well, I've been compelled. I didn't want to interrupt your service. I believe the Lord has made it to this point in this time. And the question that it was not a testimony, it was more of a question to myself and you and the congregation. Am I and are we our brother's keeper? And if we are, will God give us that ability to guide us, to guide others, to strengthen them, to strengthen each other? So are we our brother's keeper? Are we to be our brother's keeper? And if so, what direction is God going to give us?
I'll say this. I will say that without a doubt, as we follow, as we gather together as a flock, together, okay? We're there to protect each other. We're there to help each other. We're there to guide each other. We're there to continue to give a parameter with each other because we don't want people to fall away. So is that a brother's keeper? I think what it is just saying, I'm willing to link arms with you and with you and with you and with you. And then together, as we link arms, it doesn't matter race, it doesn't matter economics, it doesn't matter anything, that we fall under the banner of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, then I believe with all my heart that as we follow the Good Shepherd, that we will walk in unity. I think Jesus still wants us to be individuals because then that comes into the gifts, and that's fine. But we walk under the banner of unity. So to be a brother's keeper is to say this: I will link arms with you, and I will link arms with you, and with you, and with you, and with you. And I believe that as we do that, we are a church that will continue to move forward and to give glory to the name of God and to bring salvation, to share the salvation message, and to be able to disciple believers into a whole heart relationship with Him. That's what I believe with all my heart, friend. Praise God. Thank you. This has been a blessed service. I've enjoyed this service very much. I've enjoyed the presence of Jesus. This is what I want you to do as we leave here today. I want you to walk out of here in just a prayerful spirit. Know this, that there are many here today that have made a sanctifying decision. And we anticipate that Jesus will take those lives and continue to mold them and to guide them as He guides and moves this church. Thank you. Be blessed. Have a great week. Praise God.